more, but one probably will be predominant in a believer's life, we've observed anyway. And they're given for the benefit of that believer becoming a spiritual giant, right? I saw some, what? To build up the body, that's right. they're given for the benefit of the whole body, to use them to help others. And number four, they're to be exercised with what?
Love.
Love, yes. And these gifts properly used contribute to the two things about the body, the what and the what? Unity and the maturity. Unity and maturity of the body. We have identified nine gifts that are, we believe, are current and active today, and all of us, as we'll talk about this morning, should be working on eight of those at least. Not everybody is called to be a pastor. That's the one gift that not everybody is called upon to exercise. We talked about how these gifts are given to equip the saints, given to those leaders there in Ephesians 4. And the equipped saints are to do the work of serving or ministry, and that leads to the building up of the body. And we've talked about all of those various. The unity of the body. We need to emphasize that. The unity of the body is not a doctrineless unity. It is the unity of the faith, the full truth that we have, which is the Scriptures. And it's centered on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the foundation of all of that. Childlikeness, and we talked about what that means. They're unstable and they're gullible. And we're going to have to contrast that. And we talked about some of the things that can lead immature astray and so forth. So that brings us to the scripture references here. I think we've covered all that. Yeah. So these eight spiritual gifts, scripture references that tell us that every believer is to exercise eight of these spiritual gifts. And so you were given this last time. I'm curious if anyone is able to find some scripture that would tell us that. We could multiply scripture here. We're not going to try to list all of those that would indicate this, but let's get at least a verse or a passage for each one of these. What about prophecy? At the gift that's listed as prophecy, did you find any other reference besides Ephesians 4:15, where it tells us speaking the truth in love? That basically is prophesying. Speaking the truth in love, proclaiming the truth in the proper way, that's essentially what prophecy, the idea of prophecy is. We're not talking about foretelling the future. We're talking about proclaiming the truth in love. Anybody find another verse for that? Or other verses? Right? So that tells us that, oh, yes. 1 Corinthians 14:1. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 14 puts a major emphasis on prophesying in this sense. 14:1, we're to especially pursue or go after prophecy. Several times in that chapter talks about that. So you say, I don't have the gift of really, you know, speaking and so forth, okay, that's understandable, but individually we can still proclaim the truth. We can with love speak the truth to people and so on individually. Doesn't need to be a crowd of 500 or whatever, but we should all be practicing that gift. How about serving? This should be an easy one. I think I gave you one of these last week even. In Galatians 5:13, for you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. And there you see an expression we're going to come back to, that one another expression. That expression is used almost 100 times in the New Testament. And it's going to have great bearing on our another gifts. So we'll say more about that. We get somewhat later in the series here, but here we're told we're to be serving one another. And again, we could multiply. Anybody else have another reference for service, serving? All right, how about teaching? Anybody find a reference for this? We've mentioned one of these before, Lois. 2 Timothy, she says, 2:24. Now, I don't have that one down. Let me look it up here. 2:24. The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach. Good. Patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents, so forth. So, able to teach. The servant of the Lord. There's got service and teaching together in that verse. How about Hebrews 5:12, where the writer told these folks that it was time that they ought to be teachers. Didn't mean they all had the gift of teaching, but they should be able to be teaching basic scripture things, and they hadn't matured to that point. And he's kind of taken them to task for that. And Colossians chapter 3. Did anybody have that one down? Colossians 3:16, yes. The word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. There's a good verse to remind yourself of before you start singing each Sunday morning, by the way. Do we sing with thankfulness in our hearts? Remind ourselves that we are actually teaching. I hope we're teaching truth. The songs we sing here, we're teaching truth. Some of the singing that goes on in places you have to wonder about. But here, songs are teaching truth. And so all of us, that's why you should sing. Even if you can't sing, you should sing, right? You make a joyful noise because that's a teaching ministry. How about exhortation? Who's got a reference for exhortation? Ken?
Hebrews 10:25.
In Hebrews, there's a couple of them in Hebrews. Yeah, and that encouraging is a part of exhortation and so forth, yes. Also in Hebrews, anybody have another one in Hebrews? 3:13, yes. But exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today, that none may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And again, this is a general directive. This is not talking about, oh, this person has the gift of exhortation, so exhort. No, this is given to everybody. Yes, Lois? There's another one, a good one in 1 Thessalonians 5:14. We urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the patient, help the weak, be patient with them all. The idea there of admonish and encourage are all a part of exhortation. So again, all we're talking about is that regardless of what you think your spiritual gift or gifts are, is or are, we ought to be practicing all of these things to some degree as believers. How about giving? Well, lots of these, aren't there? But let me just give you 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. The whole passage talks about how we're all supposed to be giving. 1 Corinthians 16, Paul talks about the collection. And this giving is, we should take it beyond just material giving or financial giving, though. There's a lot of other ways that we should give as believers. So that's kind of a broad category, but certainly we should all be doing that. The idea of leading or organizing or administrating, who came up with a verse there? Anybody? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3 with me. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, where Paul's talking about the qualifications of overseers or elders in this case. So there it's kind of specific. He's supposed to manage his own household well with all dignity. Then look down to verse 12. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own households well. So elders and deacons both are addressed as needing to be, this word manage is the idea of properly organizing, caring for, leading, and so forth in that regard. So That's a little more specific for those groups. Anybody have any other more general admonitions regarding organizing or leading? I didn't come up with any others either. So how about mercy? This should be a little easier one. About Matthew 5:7. Blessed are the merciful. We're all supposed to be showing mercy, aren't we? And there's a good verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything, for they... Wait a minute. Okay, I got a wrong verse written down. Sorry about that. Is it 2 Thessalonians? No. Well, that happens sometimes. I don't know what I meant there, but that's not the right verse, obviously. Okay. So, but you get the idea that these gifts, ministries, these services are something for all of us to be practicing, even though we may have a particular gift that is predominant in our lives. All right. That brings us to our next subject, which has to do with the stewardship of these gifts. Why don't you turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. This is the passage where this stewardship idea is really emphasized when it comes to these gifts that God gives us. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, as each has received a gift, all right, so remember, every one of us has received a gift. No exceptions. You can't sit here this morning and say, I don't have any spiritual gifts. If you're a believer, you have at least one spiritual gift. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. Oops, there's that phrase again. Matter of fact, we could almost add this as a sixth common denominator in these passages, because you'll find the one another expression in all four of the gift passages. So, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks is one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that, and here's the purpose why that's to be done that way, in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Well, I couldn't resist doing what I call a Vogel paraphrase of this to try to bring out the emphasis of this passage. So that's what you have on your page there. And I've you know, how many of you remember the old Amplified Bible? Anybody? Yeah, some of the older folks remember. There was an old, it was, what, in the maybe the 60s it came out, maybe, or something like that. And they, it wasn't a bad thing, but it really wasn't, all. I don't know, I had one when I was first saved, and it tried to amplify what the scripture was saying. So I'm not suggesting this is a translation, okay? This is just my commentary. I want to call it a commentary. This is my commentary on 1 Peter 4, verses 10 and 11. But trying to bring out the fact that every one of us has received a gift, and we are to use these as stewards. There's a stewardship associated with God giving us gifts, just like there's a stewardship of God giving us material things, right? We all recognize that, I hope. God gives you certain material things, you're a steward of that. God's given you a physical body, you're a steward of that. God gives spiritual gifts, we are stewards of those things. Now, the question is then, and the passage goes on to talk about how we're supposed to use them. If you have one of the speaking gifts, you speak God's word. The word oracles there in verse 11 is the word for words. You speak God's words. And the one who serves, he does it by the strength that God supplies. This is not, you know, Superman, I got to build myself up so I can serve. No, we do it in the strength that God supplies. And all of this is done in order that God would get all the glory because of what he's done in Christ Jesus. Now, stewardship. I want us to look at this example of stewardship back in Matthew chapter 25 in order to try to understand our stewardship of spiritual gifts. We're not trying to, as we turn to Matthew 25, we're not trying to expound this whole passage. All right, our purpose here this morning is not to try to understand this parable as such. Our purpose is to try to understand stewardship principles that we see in Matthew 25 and verses 14 through 30. So you're familiar, I'm sure, all of you, with this parable that Christ taught about this man going on a journey. He called his servants and he entrusted to them his property. What stewardship principle do you see in that verse? Lincoln. Verse 14, yes. From the word entrusted, is that what you're saying? Well, he was trusting us. I'm not sure we got to being trustworthy yet. We're going to get to that. I mean, that's part of this whole story. But let's start more basic at the very beginning. What do we see first of all?
His servant.
He gave to his servants. Who did?
God gave.
God gave. The first principle of stewardship is, this isn't mine, this is God's. And that's true of spiritual gifts. Yes.
They knew what they had.
They knew.
They knew what they'd been given.
Okay, you're right. what they'd been given was God's gifts to them. In this case, it was financial or material things. But the first principle of stewardship is, this thing doesn't belong to me. It's given to me on loan, if you please, or temporarily, or whatever, however you want to put that. So whatever spiritual gifts God has given, they're from Him, they're His, and we are His servants. And we should know what we have, by the way. We'll come back to that, because we're going to talk more about that hopefully before the day's over. All right, so it's from God. Now, verse 15, to one he gave 5 talents, another he gave 1, and to each according to his ability. What does that tell you about stewardship? It's everybody. Everybody's included. But it's what's different based on what? On, you're right, on our ability, but let's who determines that? On what God knows about us, He gives gifts, or He gives talents in this case. Now, I know that may sound basic, but let that sink in a little bit. Whatever God has given you, He's given you because He knows you. In John chapter 2, verses 24 and 25, we're told that Jesus, when He was in Jerusalem that first time in His public ministry, did not commit Himself to any of those people because He what? Knew what was in man. And that's the basic principle here. God knows us exactly, and on that basis, He gives different gifts. In this case, different talents, but and we're talking about gifts now. He gives different gifts to different people. Say, well, why wasn't I gifted to be a pastor? I don't know, but God does. That also tells us what should be our attitude about our gifts. What? Thankful for what we have? And not comparing ourselves to others. Others may have whatever. That's God's business. Contentment with what He's given us. You see, there's a whole lot of stewardship principles that apply as we think about stewardship of our spiritual gifts. All right, so, and he went on his way. He went away. Christ went back to heaven, if you please, so to speak. All right, verse 16. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them and made 5 talents more, and he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more, but he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground, hid his master's money. Now, by the way, that 1 talent was not junk change, okay? That was a major amount of money. Even 1 talent, if we understand the talents right, was a fairly major amount of money, or goods or possessions, whatever. My point is, don't feel sorry for the one who only had one. And then, you know, he comes, verse 19, at a long time, the master comes back and settles accounts with them. All right, let's stop right there. What's the next principle of stewardship we see? Based on that last statement, yeah, a little more basic. I want the accountability. Yes, we are accountable for what we do with what we've been given.
They also develop their gift. It's like somebody, if somebody has a gift of giving, they learn how to do accounting and some of the skills involved in managing money. They develop their talent.
Good. Yeah, and we'll say more about that as we look at what these guys did with their talents. Exactly right. But there's an accountability for whatever we've been given that God is going to hold us to. So they were to give an account. And so then the one had 5, he had made 5 more. And he, of course, he commends him. And the same with the guy with 2. And he gives exactly the same commendation, tells us what about our stewardship of these talents or these gifts. The one who had 5 and the one who had 2 got the same commendation. What's that tell you?
Rewarded for being faithful.
Faithfulness with what you have is what you're accountable for, not how much you have or how many you had or whatever. These 2 guys got the same commendation. God's not going to look at you and say, if he gave you the gift of mercy and you used that faithfully and that's the only one you had and you did the very best with that and you did it with joy, as Romans 12 says, and and he's not going to say, why didn't you start a church? Why didn't you pastor that church? No, you're going to be accountable for what you have. And God sees faithfulness as the thing that he's looking for with our gifts. All right? There's something else that we, we should look at. Okay, this, it comes out in when he's dealing with the 3rd guy. So let's go down, all the way down to 24, where this guy says, you know, I knew you were a harsh master, and so on and so forth, and so I hid what you gave me, and it's yours. But he said to the wicked, verse 26, you knew all this stuff about me. You ought to have invested my money, the bankers, and at my coming I'd received what was my own with interest. What's that tell us about stewardship? We're to do what with it? Exercise the gift we've given to the glory of God. He wants to see a return on his gifts. You see that principle here? He wants to see a return. I mean, this guy kept his gift safe. he buried it. He got no increase in it. He didn't use it. You see the application, don't you? You bury your gift and you say, I'm just really good at teaching, but don't tell anybody because I'm too shy to get in front of people. I'm just going to keep it quiet. You're going to be accountable. So there's God expects us, tells us to use what he's given us as a gift. What else? Well, so he's, of course, this man is taken and judged and so forth. You know the end of the story. What other? So God wants to see increase. We need to know what we have in the way of gifts so we can use them to the glory of God in serving others. Is basically kind of the summary of this idea of stewardship. Now, I hope this emphasizes to us, folks, that this subject of gifts, you may say, why are we studying this? Well, for the benefit of the body. But more than that, for the glory of God. Because as we use these gifts as God has designed us to do, that glorifies God when we use them according to what 1 Peter chapter 4 talks about. Any other principles you see of stewardship in this passage? Yes, Carol. Yeah, and it's ongoing, isn't it? And that's brought out by verse 19. After a long time, we're not talking about just, well, I exercised my gift, you know, in 1972. I used my gift, and No, God wants us to go on and on and on with that. Keep doing it. After a long time, the guy came back to give an account, to hold it, these ones accountable. Yes, Ken?
In verse 29, it seems to indicate that if you're faithful in ministry, using your gifts, you'll have more opportunities.
Yes, yes. I think you're exactly right. The more you use what God's given you, the more he's going to give you to do. That is definitely a principle of Scripture. Yes, Tom?
I don't know if it's a principle or not, but it certainly gives you a look into God's economy and what he expects there. And it's interesting to me that the guy with the 5 talents and the guy with the 2 talents both get the same reward, but they did get the same performance. They both doubled their money.
Yep. Do something with it, yes. Thank you, Tom. How many here can say, and don't say it out loud, can honestly say, I am using my gift in this body? Whew, got real silent. That's okay. I'll stop preaching now and go back to teaching. That's what God expects. We're stewards, folks. And he's going to hold us accountable, that stewardship. Well, I give you some other verse. There's some other verses there about stewardship. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, you recognize stewards are to be found. The ESV translates it trustworthy. The King James translated it faithful. There's certainly an overlap there, the idea of stewards being faithful or trustworthy. In Luke 16, the steward who misused the master's goods can lose his stewardship. Now, the idea being, you know, if you use it or lose it, the old idea. And there's some suggestion there in Luke 16 that that can happen to believers. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, that passage, verses 16 and 17, Paul talks about how if he doesn't serve willingly, he still is obligated by his stewardship. So we need to be considering our stewardship. And Titus 1:7 talks about elders have a stewardship from God, and they must exercise it above reproach. So those are some of the other passages about stewardship. Quite a bit in the scriptures about stewardship. So that 1 Peter 4 tells us that applies to the spiritual gifts that God has given us. Now, I give you a quote here from commentary by John Brown, and this to distinguish who this is a Scottish Presbyterian commentator, wrote this in 1848. So this is not some other John Brown that you might think of. He basically is kind of in the end of the Puritan age, so it's going to sound a little strange the way he writes, but he has an excellent commentary. It's three volumes on 1 Peter. And this was his comment on these verses. The church is viewed as a household to the various members of which the divine master of the family has given various qualifications, by the exercise of which they are mutually to promote one another's improvement. Now, he's talking about spiritual improvement, not some kind of physical or financial improvement or whatever. And thus the improvement of the whole family is to be secured. These gifts, then, are not to be considered as conferred for the advantage of the individual on whom they're bestowed. They're intended for the good of the whole. And the gifted person is, in the exercise of his gift, not to act as an independent proprietor seeking his own advantage and doing what he wills with his own, but as a good steward, turning, or I would probably use it, to returning to the best account, according to the declared will of the great householder, a portion of his property, which the individual entrusted with is expected to use not for his own good, but for the good of all his brethren. Now, that he kind of says in a lot of words what we've been trying to say about 1 Peter chapter 4, our stewardship. Any question on stewardship of gifts? Very, very important part of this whole discussion. I have given you, any comment there or question? I've given you in that next section, this comes from a conservative commentator on 1 Peter, his suggestions about understanding our spiritual gifts. Four things that he says will help us to understand our spiritual gifts. Study what the Bible says. That's what we're doing. Try to understand what they are and so forth. That's the first thing. Seriously pray and ask God to show us the gifts, gift or gifts, should be gift or gifts, he has given us. Make a sober assessment of your spiritual strengths, abilities, and motivations. This may indicate our gifts. So what he's saying is, if you have a particular motivation, for instance, I can use Ken as an example. Ken shared with me month or more ago now about his teaching there at Faradine, and how this was fulfilling his desire to teach and so forth. Well, as you know, Ken's been a teacher here for years, and now he's made this move, and now he's found a place. I'm convinced Ken has the gift of teaching. And that kind of motivation oftentimes will indicate your spiritual giftedness. So that's one way to help us understand that. And then seek insight and wisdom from mature believers who know you well regarding what they see as your giftedness. Sometimes other people can see it better than we can as far as what is our gift. Now, next time we're going to have to talk about what is and what is not, what are and what are not spiritual gifts. Because there are only 9 of them that we've identified. And so everything has to fit under those categories. If you think your gift is, aggravating your neighbor, you probably better figure out where that fits under a spiritual gift somewhere. or if you think your spiritual gift is mowing the grass, that's an important thing, but is that a spiritual gift? Don't think so. But it does come under one of the gifts. Service, yeah. A lot of things are going to fit under serving, obviously. So we'll talk more about that next time. But these are some suggested things for you to consider. So we'll talk about gifts, what are and what are not. And then I want you to be thinking through the 8 gifts as far as what is your understanding of these 8 gifts? How do they manifest themselves? What does it look like, if you please, if you have one of these gifts? And then we're going to begin to consider what does it mean for believers to be equipped. I'm going to do a kind of a word study of that word equipped, because that's a very important part of this whole discussion. Okay, yes, Ken. Absolutely. And to add, just to reinforce that, the believer who is not willing to step out and say, okay, I will go visit this person. Maybe it's somebody in the hospital or whatever it might be. If you're not willing to start doing some of those things, you're probably not going to discern what your gift is. You're exactly right, Ken. Good. All right. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll fellowship together. Father, thank you for your giving us all things. And this morning, thinking especially of these spiritual gifts, Lord, help us to realize that this is a stewardship that we're responsible for. And help us to be faithful stewards, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.